Coming up, I'm going to reveal two reasons why people are unhappy at work. And then how to get unstuck in your career with Ian Morgan Cron, my friend and special guest. And you know, we're going to coach you up. Let's do it. Ted Colvin Show is where you get the competitive edge to make more money and make more impact. Doing what you were born to do. Let's go. You know, this is not a new phenomenon. It's never going to go away. There are going to be people for the entire time that this world exists. As it relates to work, there's always going to be this disconnect between, I have to work, and I just don't like it. And in order to simplify this for you, the audience, you, the people, I'm a man of the people, I'm your coach. Let's simplify it. I think there are two main reasons, and you could take any number of reasons, any specifics, and you could essentially file them under these two main reasons. If you were to take a sheet of paper and just draw a line down the middle, and you got on one side, you got burnout. On the other side, you got disengagement. And boy, oh boy, sometimes they look like the other, right? They can kind of mimic each other a little bit, but these are two clear reasons. I want to break these down. Because throughout the Great Resignation, and if this is a new term to you, this is an economist came up with this term as we were coming out of 2020 into 2021, that there were going to be a lot of people changing jobs, making changes. We saw it explode in 2021, or really the middle part of 2021, and it's continued into 2022, where nearly 40 million people have left their jobs. A lot of job hopping, a lot of switching. You've seen it, you've felt it, you've done it. And so as we look at the data and we boil it down so that we can be prepared to not let this happen to us. This is a guard. Okay? This is a escape lesson. All right? Guard against it and then get out of it. So if you're dealing with burnout or disengagement, well, how do we avoid it? How do we get out of it? And that's what I want to teach on. So first and foremost, burnout is a way of describing that you got no juice. You got no gas. You're just dragging along. You know, if you've ever run out of gas, and some of you folks have never run out of gas, I am going to take this moment to teach out of something that I'm profoundly embarrassed about. In fact, I've never told any of the team this. But I was thinking about this morning. Alex, I feel that I'm being accurate when I say that I've run out of gas about 10 times in my life. 10 times. That's a lot. Like, running out of gas once or twice in your life feels about right. Maybe you were harried. You had a lot going on. You forgot what was going on. 10 times is a pattern. 10 times, can I just be honest with you folks, is a problem. I got problems, okay? Like, 10 times? And I was sitting this morning, I'm not trying to beat myself up. I'm just making the point, like, I've run out of gas a lot. Now, why do I tell you this? Because running out of gas has a really distinct physical and emotional feeling. Okay, let me tell you what it feels like as a guy who's done it way too much. All right, here's what happens. The car literally begins to choke and lurch. Okay, those of you that are watching me, I better hold this so I don't like break something. All right, the video too is like kind of look, like, you know, it's kind of lurching and the car starts to lurch a little bit. Then the car starts to choke a little bit. And so you feel the car running out of gas. And so that's the physical. But then the emotional is what really sucks. Here's what happens for me. It goes from, oh, crap. And you look down at the gas gauge and you realize what's going on. And then you go, oh, I am such a moron. And so self-loathing takes over at first. And then self-loathing turns into total, utter frustration. Because you're like, now you're dealing with how this is going to affect my day. Who is this going to affect? Oh, geez, I got to call my wife. I got to call Stacy and tell her that, yes, honey, I've done it again. So you go from self-loathing to some fear, some embarrassment, and then just it turns into total frustration because you're like, I have ruined my day. At this point, like I've put everything, I've probably put meetings back. I've caused delays for Stacey. I mean, you get it. All right. So this is what burnout feels like. You get to self-loathing because you're like, I can't believe I've put myself in this situation. I can't believe I put up with this crappy boss, this toxic environment. Self-loathing. And then the self-loathing wears off, and now you're saying, I'm so frustrated. I what do I do? Where do I go? I got a job. I got a check. I got responsibilities, and yet I'm burned out. I got nothing left to give. And you're sitting there in the car waiting for somebody to help you. Here's how the metaphor pays off. You're sitting there when you're burned out in a job. You're like me in the car waiting for Stacy to show up or a friend to show up with a gas can. And you're just sitting there like this. Oh, my gosh. And it's a soundtrack of self-loathing and frustration. And you're sitting there deflated. That's burned out. That's the way I like to call burnout. Now, disengagement is this. I'm in, but I'm not really paying attention. You know, it's like me watching a baseball game on television. This is my metaphor for disengagement. Let me tell you how I watch baseball on TV, even in the park. I'm kind of looking up at the pitch. I'm looking at my phone. I'm talking to my kid. I'm talking to Stacy if we're watching it on TV. I'm there. I'm watching the baseball game, but I'm not really into it. I may miss a hit or two. I may miss a home run. I hear everybody scream. I look up. Oh, the ball's going to the park. That's disengaged. I'm there, but I'm not really there. So how do we guard against it, and how do we get out of it? Same two steps. Here we go. The solution to guard against burnout and disengagement is the same solution to get out of it. Number one, retreat to clarity. Talent, passion, and mission. These are the threads that if I cut you open, I see the threads. I see talent that can be developed into skill. I see passion, a love, a longing to do a certain type of work. And then I see a desire to make a difference. I see what motivates you, a result that you care deeply about. Talent, passion, and mission. And when I use what I do best, talent, to do work I love, passion, to produce results that matter to me, mission. And when I can see that, then I can see the opportunities out there to do it. And now I go, oh, there's hope. There's an exit. Or I got to go over here because this is sweet spot. This isn't. This is on purpose. This isn't. Number two, follow the clear path that I teach that I wrote about from Paycheck to Purpose. Once I'm clear, what do I have to do to get qualified to get a ticket to the dance? How do I get connected once I'm in the dance to move up, to get better opportunities, to grow? How do I get started in that place? How do I get promoted in that place? How do I step into the dream job to then finally give myself away? There are seven stages that we teach about in the book, From Paycheck to Purpose. And folks, this is how we get out of burnout and disengagement. And this is how we also avoid ever falling back into it. It's possible, but you have to decide to do what it takes. Hang out with us, will you? We'll coach some people coming up. All right, folks, coaching you up so that you have the competitive edge, because I'm telling you, you're in a competition against yourself. And then against coworkers or people from the outside world to get where you want to go. You're competing, so we're going to treat it like a competition, because on the other side of this competition is wins. There'll be some losses, but there's going to be wins that move you forward financially and emotionally and professionally. More money, more impact. That's our goal here on the Ken Coleman Show. I know you like the sound of that. Let's go. Before we get into, I'm very excited about our special guest. I'll tell you about in just a second. We're going to do a deep dive on getting unstuck. That's coming up. But first, some of you are looking for great opportunities, career fields where you go, Ken, I know my talent. I'm just looking for some ideas. And project management is one that you need to consider if you are a person who loves process work, who's good at process work, and cares about efficiency and excellence. Project management is one of the hottest career paths. They see it growing by 33% over the next 5 to 7 years. It has unbelievable diversity that can grow out of it. You go all the way up to C-suite. It's wonderful. So we launched Project Management 101 here at Ramsey Solutions. I partner with Ramsey Academy and specifically Ramsey Solutions Chief Technology Officer Brendan Wojcko, because Brendan is an expert in project management. He hires and leads all project managers here at Ramsey. So this is called Project Management 101, where Brendan and I team up to teach you the tools and strategies to become an effective project manager, to get hired as one, and to get promoted as one. Spots are limited. It goes fast. This is our third one now. It's so hot. It's so hot, I got to wear oven mittens. I don't know where that came from. I just thought I'd say it. So apply now at RamseySolutions.com/project. RamseySolutions.com/project. All right. So I recently had my friend, psychologist, world traveler, Renaissance man, musician, author. He's just brilliant. Ian Morgenkron. He's an Enneagram expert as well. And so he's got a new book out. And I wanted Ian to come in to talk about what is happening up here in our heads that keeps us stuck. I have so many people that call and say, Ken, I'm stuck. And stuck is a choice, in my opinion. And so I said, I got to talk to the expert. And so I'm going to take you to a moment. We recently had him in studio, and I asked him lots of things. We're only going to show you a short clip here. But this is great content to help you get unstuck. Here is my conversation on this all-important topic with Ian Morgenkron. People talk about being stuck all the time. So what causes us to think we're stuck?
You know, it's so funny you should say that. I recently was talking to a friend, and I said, stuck is one of the very few words that you never have to define it for somebody.
Isn't that true?
You just say, where are you stuck? And they're like, no one ever says, well, what do you mean by stuck? Right. It's like, they go, oh.
Yeah. Ouch, sorry.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Right.
You know, I think that people get stuck in old stories, old narratives about who they are and how they think the world works, right? And some of those stories are just born of our experience at home, our experience in school, coaches, sometimes traumas, whatever it might be, right?
Yeah.
And we get locked in these, I call them broken stories, right? Now, ironically, those stories kind of help us as little kids make sense of the world, but when we drag them into adulthood and continue to live by their dictates, they tend to make a mess of our lives, right? Because what works for you in the morning of life can kill you in the afternoon, as Carl Jung once said.
Yes.
You know?
That's fascinating. I want to jump in there. Why is it, why are these stories, if they're broken, and you're saying they are, why are they helpful as youngsters and not helpful when we're adults? That's fascinating to me.
Sure. Well, I mean, think about it. You're bombarded by all these experiences as a young person, and you've got to figure out a coherent story to make sense of what's happening to you. Now, little kids are lovely and wonderful. They're concrete thinkers. They're not abstract thinkers. So if dad says to you, you got to get an A on every report card if you want to be loved, I mean, if that message comes across, right? Little kid's not going, that's dad's problem. You know what I mean?
Right.
Little
right.
kid's just taking that stuff on board.
Right.
And it's all unconscious
behavior.
But we do then drag those things into adulthood. And then you begin to see personalities. I think like an Enneagram 3, like Andre Agassi, right? That's a classic story of a kid who made up a story about his relationship with his dad. I got to be a champion. I got to be a winner. Drags that into adulthood with him. And it eventually made him miserable. That's a kind of a classic example of a broken story brought in from childhood.
Yeah, it's really true. And what's fascinating about that is it kind of tied it into what we talk about on the show, talent, passion, and mission. He was very talented at tennis. Obviously a phenomenal athlete. I read that book open. It's a fascinating book.
It's one of the best ever, man.
I couldn't put it down. But he hated tennis. Or did he? Because I wonder, love when I could talk to a psychologist. Okay, now he says, and bringing the audience in really quickly, he's got this driving father, and his dad loves tennis, kind of living through his son. Andre shows some promise. He's really, really good. I mean, he eats, drinks, sleeps tennis. And he says throughout the book, I hated tennis.
Yes.
And the question that I had is, did he hate tennis Could it? Because it's true. You could be talented at something and have no passion for it. I see it all the time in the world of work. We talk about it here on the show. Mm-hmm. But I wonder, did he hate it at a certain point because of the pressure and everything attached to it? Or did he hate it from the get-go? Do you have a take on that?
Well, I mean, I think it's a both and, right? Because he knew right away he wanted to be a soccer player.
Exactly.
Right from...
Yeah, love the game of soccer.
And here's a kind of a quote from the book. I'm not going to get it exactly right. But he says, my father could not tell the difference between his love for tennis and his love for me.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. You know, you read that and you just go... But you see, as a little kid, he hears the message. He picks up the story.
Yeah.
I have to be great at this game if I want to win my father's love. Then that gets more universalized. And the idea then becomes... People only value you for what you achieve, not for who you are inside.
Right.
Right. I think at a certain moment in adulthood, he realized, I'm in the wrong story.
Yeah.
This is my father's story.
Yes. Very
this
much.
Is not the person I wanted to be. So I do think in adulthood, there's this conscious awakening often, I hope, when someone goes, I don't think I'm living my story. I think I'm living in an old, broken story, and I got to break through all these hurtful messages and the stuff that's holding me back so I can become the person that I was designed to be and do the things I was designed to do.
Right. So when you, in this book, say, okay, these stories, broken stories, can make us feel stuck or we get stuck, is it that we can't come up with a different narrative? Is that what you're saying from maybe a 50,000-foot view of what stuck looks like? We're unable to see a different narrative or story?
There's a great quote, and I think it's Shakespeare. He says, no prison is more secure than the one you don't know you're in.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people just don't know they're stuck in a broken story. They suffer the symptoms of it, right? They're bored at work, malaise, marital problems, health problems. You know what I mean? They're just kind of like out of energy. They don't know. And they kind of feel like, God, I'm reading off the wrong script here. Life just doesn't seem to fit who I am, right? So I do think they feel stuck. Like, how can I get out of that story? And the story of you is really not only helping people identify the story through the lens of the Enneagram, but also saying, look, here's a way, a model for you to walk through to kind of reclaim the true story of your life.
I absolutely love that from Ian. And Ian, thank you for being on the show. I got four questions that as I was listening to that interview that I wrote down for you. For those of you who you have a feeling that you are living the wrong story. You're living it. You're right in the middle of it. So here are four questions. Number one, what story are you living? I want you to write these answers down. I want you to answer them in writing. What story am I living? Just give a quick descriptor paragraph of this is the story I'm in. Then I want you to answer this question. What character am I playing in that story? What character? I just described and summarized the story I'm actually living. What character am I playing in that story? This is going to give you a snapshot of where you are. Now let's go forward. Third question. What story do you want to be living? Write a descriptive paragraph. This is what I want my life to look like. That's the story you want to be living. And then the fourth and final question. What character do you want to play in that story? It's a wonderful exercise. Painful on the first part, hopeful on the second. But it is absolutely a must to make sure that you aren't stuck in the wrong story. Great stuff from Ian Morgan Cron. We'll be right back with coaching. Yeah, I'm just going to bebop to that one a little bit because, see, this music is what it feels like on Monday morning when you like your work. You hear that? There's a vibe there. It's like, all right. Oh, yeah, man, we got stuff to do. I'm moving. We're going to make some good stuff happen today. So there you go. I like that. Very nice. It's fun stuff. Plus, I feel like every once in a while, you people just need something to laugh at and you're at work and you're not happy. It's why you're watching the show or you want to get, and you just go, now that's ridiculous. He should probably never be allowed to do that. And you're right. I try to keep my dancing to that classic line from Hitch, where Will Smith tells Kevin James' character, just when you're out with this girl and you're dancing at the club, just keep it right here. You know what I mean? And it is, that's a good thing. Hey, speaking of keeping it right here, those of you that are looking for a job, but you're going, or you're thinking about looking for a job, you're going, oh my gosh, where do I start? Who do I use? How many resumes do I have to fill out? Is anybody going to actually look at my resume? I've been ghosted in the last three or four interviews. After I did an interview, ghosted. I'm hearing crickets, Ken. I'm applying and I hear nothing but crickets, baby. ZipRecruiter is the answer. That's why I endorse them. Their artificial intelligence software and their unbelievable roster of companies that are paying ZipRecruiter to have access to people like you makes them the best in what they do. They take out all the loneliness, all the frustration, all of that stuff, and they're matching you up. They send you job opportunities where for you to apply, check this out. You just literally go like this, click, and it's free to you. Check it out, ZipRecruiter.com, ZipRecruiter.com. All right, Savannah, Tennessee. I didn't even know there was a Savannah, Tennessee. It's very exciting. Tyler's on the line there. Tyler, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Awesome. Thanks for taking my call, Ken.
Yes, sir. How can I help you?
Hey, I've got a good problem. I've got my current employer has offered me or told me that I'd be offered a management position within about 6 months, pending a retirement that's coming up. But in the meantime, I've been approached by another employer asking, you know, about an opportunity at that business. So I've got these two opportunities ahead of me, but I'm not sure how to navigate them and approach my current employer and tell them that I've got another opportunity and just want to get your thoughts on the,
yeah,
on the best way to navigate this.
Okay, well, first of all, this is awesome. How's that feel? How's that feel to have two good opportunities in front of you, my man?
It's a good problem to have.
Yes, sir. All right, what details do you know about each? I'm sorry, that's the wrong way to ask that. Do you have a good picture of what day-to-day looks like for both, and then what the financial opportunities now would be plus in the future? Do you know that about both opportunities?
I've got an idea. I don't have any financial numbers in front of me. I haven't put any kind of offers out there, but I expect them to be similar.
Okay.
On both sides.
Okay.
I don't want to make my current employer feel like I'm trying to use this as leverage and vice versa, but I also want to, you know, get the best
right
for myself.
No, absolutely. So, and by the way, that's all good. You are not being dishonorable by listening to the outside company. So here's how I think it might solve some of your guilt and some of the, hey, I don't want this to get out and poison what might be a great opportunity here, but I want to look at both. I would use paid time off. I would, you know what I mean? So when you go do job interviews, take your lunch hour. If you normally do a lunch hour, do you do that? You normally take a lunch hour?
No, I usually eat in the field, but I can't. I do have pay time off if I needed to go in. So
that's
far,
my
I've
point.
Just had a, yeah, I've had a lunch, just a lunch conversation with the,
right,
the possible employers.
That's my point. Use pay time off or lunch time. And so therefore, you're not stealing from your current employer. And that's going to allow you, because you're such a good guy, you have high character, high ethics. So this will remove the guilt. You're just talking. And you're not doing it on your current company's time. True or false?
True.
All right.
So that's true. Yeah, I'm doing it on my own time. That's right.
That's right. So here's the deal. So listen and ask lots of questions. You're interested in me? Thank you very much. Tell me about the day. What's a day in, day out look like? What's the highs? What's the lows? What's the culture like here? How would you describe the culture? This is to the new company. I mean, ask some deep questions, man. This interview process is for you, not for them. You already got another great opportunity in a place that you know you like. So I dig deep and tell them to make you an offer. Say, look, I'm going to be very candid with you. This is to the outside company. I would tell the outside company that you're interested and you're here to listen, but that you have also been offered a promotion at your current company. That's where I drop the leverage. Make sense?
Okay, so you would ask for an offer from the outside company before approaching the current company with the opportunity.
Well, it feels like that's the normal timeline right now because you've already been told there's a potential, but it's down the road if I understood you correctly. It's not right away.
That's correct. It's within the year. That's correct.
Right, so I kind of love this for you. because you don't have any pressure right now. Your current company said, we like you. We think your leadership potential and looks like a retirement's coming up and we want to put you in that. But it's not, you're not having to make a decision right now, correct?
That's correct.
Oh, my man. Yeah. I'd absolutely go dance with these other people and let them play it out. Probably going to be a month or two or a couple week process, and then say, and then when they, and then just tell them. And when they make you the offer, don't tell them until they make you the offer. If you like the offer, great. I'm sorry. I said that wrong. I'm sorry. I did not mean to contradict myself. When you get to the point where they go, okay, we really, there's a couple interviews. You go, hey, look, I want to be straightforward with you. I'm really interested. And you'll know when to say that. I don't know if it's two interviews in, three interviews, whatever the process is. But just let them know, I'm actually interested. Very natural. And then say, but just so you know, I've been told there's a position that's coming open in my current company this year, and they want me to step into it. It's a nice promotion. So I need to know what you guys are thinking and what a growth track looks like here. And then let it go. Let them see what, let's see what they do. And then if they make you an offer, now you have to go in and say to the current company, I got an offer. And here's what it's an opportunity for me to grow. I love this place. I want to grow. And so let me ask you this very quickly. Based on what you know, do both positions, the promotion with your current company, if it were to happen, and this new offer, do they both put you on the ladder or further up the ladder that you want to be on?
Yes, both of them put me up, just different sides of the ladder, but they both took steps up the ladder for sure.
All right. So in the process of doing what I already told you to do, I want you to also spend time alone with yourself doing the good old-fashioned pros and cons. If I were to get both opportunities in the form of an offer, which you're close to getting, but if I had both, which one would be best for the now and for the next? And I think the answer to those two questions is the choice. So I gave you two levels, which one is best for the now and which one is best for the next. The winner of that competition gets my vote.
Wonderful. That's the process I'll take. I appreciate your help, Kenny.
Yeah, man, I love it. I'm really excited for you. But do not feel guilty. Do you hear me?
I don't. Yeah, that helps a lot. I kind of had some, I felt loyal to my current company and felt guilty about competing with them. But you helped out a lot.
Yeah, because you're a good dude. Tyler's a good dude. Right? Let me just tell you something. We get a lot of these calls, and it's because we got a lot of good people listening and watching the show. But folks, it is natural to feel what Tyler felt. But you have to also go, wait a second, am I doing anything wrong? The answer is no. Now, let me tell you this. If you go out on job interviews on your current company's dime, you should feel guilt because you're stealing from them. Okay? But if you use your time, lunchtime, paid job, there's nothing wrong with that. And so be okay with that. Okay, I'm looking to my future. And let me remind you, a lot of you folks, something. No healthy organization or healthy leader will begrudge you for taking an opportunity that's best for you. They may be disappointed to lose you. It may put them in alerts, sure. But a healthy person says, hey, I'm sad, but I'm excited for you. You matter. You have what it takes. Press up.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
If you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like The Rachel Cruze Show.
Money should be fun, not stressful. I'm Rachel Cruze, and I'll show you practical tips on how to save money in your everyday life and get out of debt even faster on The Rachel Cruze Show. I'll show you that you can take control of your money and create a life you love. Listen to The Rachel Cruze Show wherever you listen to podcasts.